Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Lioness Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Leanne.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Steph.
And today we're going to dive into the subject of the tarot. So we are just going to cover the basics, and we haven't got a big outline of exactly what we're going to cover today, but we're going to just dip in here, dip in there, pull a few cards and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've been practicing tarot. I've been interested in tarot for probably most of my life, but I've been seriously really into it, I would say, for the last 2 years. And Steph, I feel, is the same, and Kelly has recently been getting more into the tarot too. So
yeah, hopefully I'll learn a bit more today.
Like, what is the tarot? It's basically just a divination tool for, it's mostly used by people who claim to be witches, so they could be from the religion or mediums, but normally does, I think originally it was used a lot in the religion, the pagan religion and the Wiccan religion, and it's been now picked up by the spiritual community and people using it, even if they're not religious, and that would be like us. So it's just a tool for getting guidance, and we use the cards to receive messages from whatever you might believe that to be. You might believe it's a luck of the draw. You could believe that it's a message from your higher self or from God or from angels or from your spirit guides. But it's open for interpretation, right? Anyone can take any meaning they like on with the tarot cards, and I feel like they'll work for you. It's just believing it.
And anyone can do the tarot.
Yeah,
you don't
anybody.
Have to have any sort of clairvoyant abilities. It's literally a tool to get started on your divination, I think.
Literally really anyone, even if you've never played with a deck before, you could sit down and give yourself a reading just using the guidebook. And it really just comes through trust. So as long as you trust the message and you're very open, then you're going to get the guidance that you need, that's going to help you. It's only, I find people only have trouble when they don't have the full trust there. There's almost no point in doing it if you're just going to question every message that comes through. So it's just trust in your instincts, trust in your
intuition.
It's a great tool to start
because
listening.
It works together, the cards, with your intuition. So you'll be able to get a more definite reading by really tuning in.
And
to yourself.
Exactly. Like, even just you not even using the book, you can get a message through looking at the image. And it doesn't have to be right. There's no right answer. It's whatever it means to you. Whoever's
you
doing the reading, whatever it means to you is right. So like, it could say in the book, you know, black means black, but if to you black means yellow that day, you know, then that's the case. That I was just using a random example, but you know, like, it can, you don't have to follow the book is what we're getting at.
It's a lot about intuition, and that's kind of what makes it really fun and gets you sort of into more developing those skills.
It really does help develop
skills. The more you do it, the more it's going to come through.
Like you said, the key really is to be open, because there'll be times when you think, oh, you know, you really want to something to be true. So you think, oh, let me use the deck, and you'll just
try and manipulate it.
You want a certain outcome, and you're only looking for that certain outcome, then tarot is not going to work well for you.
Yeah, because your guides really are interested in helping you.
And
that might be something you need to see that you don't really want to see.
And I do find that you can get, it's very easy to get like that when you're reading for yourself, like very easy, because you know, you don't want to hear certain things, you don't want to think certain things are true or that are coming through, but the fact that you, the first thing you picked up on was something,
but all the cards are going to be something to help you.
Exactly. So it's like, in you know, there's light and dark, good and bad in everything, and this is the same with the tarot. It's the, if you want everything sugar-coated, then reach for a nice angel oracle, because
and you will get everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and you can do that, and there's no shame in that.
You
know,
talk a little bit. That's how I started.
Yeah, like a great way to dip into tarot is to begin in with oracle cards. So they are just, I would say, a lot easier to read. A lot more soft and unoffensive,
uplifting.
More uplifting. Yeah, definitely, Kel. They also vary. Like, the oracle cards don't have like a template that they all work on. Like the tarot, is set cards. Like playing cards are set cards. You know, the oracle cards can change to whatever the artist wants them to be. Yeah, so it could be like a deck of messages from your angels, or a deck of astrology cards.
So it's like more of a unique tool that you could sort of use with the tarot, I guess.
And I guess that's a really good way of like awakening your intuition would be oracle, because if you're going to stray from the guidebook, then you're just using the image and the keyword, if there is one. And with the tarot, like, some of the decks aren't always so descriptive, so you do more, there's more study to be done with the tarot. Like, if you want to, unless you're going to use just the basic Rider-Waite Smith deck.
So what's that?
That's the original, I would say the most popular deck. I know the Marcier, deck is the original. But the Marcier deck is a pip deck. So pip decks are, for example, when you're doing the minor arcana,
it's like a smaller deck.
No, so you have the minor arcana is like cups, swords, pentacles and wands. They would just be four cups instead of a picture of what the four cups means.
I see what you mean. So
yeah.
So it's harder to interpret that way.
You have to really know.
Yeah, so like this is three of wands, but there's an image here. We're looking at the Rider-Waite
Smith. So is this where it started with the more descriptive images?
Yeah.
The
more descriptive images started with Rider-Waite Smith. And then before that was the Marcier deck that originally came from Italy.
Amazing.
So I much prefer the Rider-Waite Smith style. So when they say stuff's done in a Rider-Waite Smith style, it's like non-pip style. It's like really descriptive
images
in the image. So in this three of wands, you can see that he's looking out towards the horizon. You know, he's standing proud with his three wands. It's like they really can. Here you have the seven of swords. You know, it's not just seven swords. It's a guy sneaking off with five of them. That gives you a bit of an image there, you know, a bit of something to play with. So we totally skipped, actually, we're now talking about the minor arcana, but the tarot deck is split into two. You've got the major arcana and the minor arcana. You get 22 cards in the major arcana, and is it 56 in the minor, which would be the wands.
So the majors are like, give us some examples.
So the majors, we go through the Fool's Journey.
I love reading that.
Yeah.
The Fool's Journey.
I know. I wish that I'd brought a copy of it. Is it in there?
It's here. Where does it begin?
I was thinking maybe we could do a separate podcast for the whole Fool's Journey, maybe at one point. Might be interesting.
The full story.
So that's the Fool's Journey is basically the first card of the tarot deck is zero, and that's the Fool, and then the Fool goes through all the major arcana, so the other 21 cards, and there's like a story based around it. So as first, he meets the magician, that's the first number one card, and then his encounter with what the magician would teach him, and then after that he meets the next second card, which is the high priestess, and then that's the journey of the
and then it's also that these cards are numbered, so is it just the major cards that are numbered?
Yeah, so
the other ones do have numbers as well, so it incorporates numerology.
Oh, totally,
as well.
Yeah.
That's another way to read the messages, is the numerology.
Yeah, definitely. And then as his journey gets a bit more interesting, sort of as he's going along, you know, and especially it gets a bit harder when you get to the second half of the Major Arcana. Because first he meets the magician, then he meets the high priestess, then he meets the motherly archetype, the Eve of Adam and Eve, you know, the empress, and we have the emperor, who's the fatherly archetype, you know. Mm-hmm. So then he's like, you know, then he leaves his parents. So he then meets the Hierophant, you know, which is the spiritual teacher, the, you know, can represent leaders in religions and stuff. Then he goes through the lover's phase and learns what love is and falls in love and learns what being a partnership is. And then he goes out into the world and pushes forward with courage and action when he meets the chariot who takes him on the chariot who takes him on an adventure. Then he has to find his own strength with the strength card and maybe fight for what's right, you know, standing up for what's right. Then he takes a journey of reflection, you know, with the hermit, and it's time to be on his own, time to go within, you know.
Yeah.
And then this is when things flip on him. He takes the Wheel of Fortune card, and we're halfway now through. This is number 10, the Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
We're halfway through the Fool's journey here, and things are going to start to flip a bit. So with the Wheel of Fortune, you know, they can go either way here.
This is more like making your choices.
Yeah, so things can go either way, and knowing that the wheel will always come back around. So you're always going to experience the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And we have the Justice card. So that's where, you know, you standing up for what's right and you making decisions.
It's got sword going through the owl's head. Is that the Cabal?
We are actually flicking through
the ethereal?
Yeah, ethereal visions, yeah. Illuminated tarot deck. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's by Matt Hughes. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's got gold embossed on every single card, and the images are really unique and nice.
The next part of his journey is the Hangman. So that's like where sometimes you need to take yourself out to see how things really are, you know, reflect a bit more, but less from a going within place, I would say. With the death, the next journey would be the death card. So obviously experiencing letting go and knowing that all things come to an end, and moving on from some hard times, allowing space for better times. And then he meets the Temperance, who then teaches him, much like the sign of Libra, balance, you know, through his ways and his choices. After learning that, he realizes he can indulge with the Devil card and indulge in all those devilish activities. But then often when you do that, you come face to face with the Tower, where everything crumbles and falls. So the Tower represents everything crumbling and falling, and everything you know to be true to be pulled away. It's your foundations and being ripped away so you can start again. It's one of the harder cards to come across. So after he's experienced the fall of his Tower, he then can start to dream of a better future here with the star, and see through the darkness, see the light through the darkness there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time to reflect with the moon, when he meets with the moon card. And this is a time where we sort of are able to reflect with what's real and what's not, what's dream and what's reality. And then we can move into the sun again. So where this dark part of the journey suddenly is able to take a turn for the better, and the sun just brings out the good times again. Like, things are on the ups, things are how they're meant to be, things are getting good. We have the judgment card, which is coming down to those final judgments and knowing what's right for you, you know. So just making sure that you're making a clear decision. I guess, like, after coming out of the sun card, sometimes we do need to reflect on, like, how do you guys take the judgment card? Because I always think that it can go so many ways.
Never seen it before.
Well, in the Fool's journey, it's like calling on him to judge himself.
Yeah.
It's time to.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like, self, like yeah, sort of be.
Maybe it's like clarification, like make the judgment, or is everything going the way you want it to go?
Yeah, I always think of it as like make a decision.
Yeah.
Right? And I would say it's more personal, like Steph said, definitely. Whereas I think justice is more like, I mean, involving, like, others.
Yeah.
Just sort of assessing your situation.
Yeah.
And making the judgment that's needed.
And then the final card of the Major Arcana would be
the world
card. And I think that just wraps up the story quite well. What does it say in the book about the world card?
He has the world to discover all over again.
Exactly. So it makes full circle. Yeah. These are the old additional cards, the artists.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We'll talk about those now. So, yeah, that's a light sum up of the Fool's journey. But I definitely think if you are interested in tarot, it's definitely something to check out. There's also a documentary that was made about the Fool's journey as well, which was on YouTube. If you want to check that out, that was pretty cool. And then we have the Minor Arcana. We're obviously not going to go through the whole Minor Arcana because it's a lot of cards. But they are split into four groups. So we have Wands, Cups, Pentacles and Swords.
Yeah.
And they all represent an element. So Swords represents air, Wands represents fire, Cups represents water, and Pentacles represents earth. And they can, they also represent I don't know what the word is, but basically cups represent emotions and like love and relationships and things like that. The wands represent like a challenge,
so what the
creativity
elements are related to,
yeah, and then so pentacles, yeah, represents like money and materialism, and swords represents communication, like air, makes sense. So knowing the elements actually can really help you read your cards.
It also says here that it associates Swords/air with I think, Wands/fire with I want, Pentacles/earth with I have, Cups/water with I feel. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's the really good way, using the elements to help read the cards. I really upped my readings when I was able to do that. Is there any other themes like that you guys see that goes in with the cards? Like, we know there's the elements of the cards. We've briefly mentioned that you can use numerology to read the cards.
Yeah, there's loads of things in here. It's talking about major arcanas, but it referenced also Hebrew letters and their interpretation.
Also, that we do have like a sign. There is, you can look into signs and planets that are connected with cards as well.
Oh yeah.
So I know, like, an obvious one is strength is connected with Leo. And then when you think of the meaning and you think of the sign, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we was going to do was we were all going to pull a card here, and then we can use our card. We're going to do one card reading for each of us, and then we can use that to
try and derive
some a little example, I guess, of So, with my practice, I really do try to pull one card for myself every day. And I find pulling one card every day for myself really helps me just become more connected with the cards, be more familiar with their meanings and things, and just helps me become a much better intuitive reader. Yeah. And you don't even have to be an intuitive reader. You can be a logical reader. Lots of people are, they memorize the meanings and they go solidly by the meanings of the cards, you know. But I would say most people are a mix of the two. So a mix of intuition and a mix of knowing. And I do feel like that's probably the best way to go, because you can really get a lot of meanings from one card, because then it depends, like, what question are you asking? Is it about career? Is it about your love life? Is it about an inner work, spiritual question?
Because I find when you read if you're learning about a card and you read from, you know, all decks come with a little book, if you compare the note of what a card means in, like, every single book, they're all so different.
Yeah.
It's down to the artist's interpretation.
Yeah, and also, isn't the art so different as well?
So yeah, so I think that's why you need to tap in with your own intuition in order to get what you need.
Okay, so should we all pull a card? Do we want to pull cards for ourselves, for each other?
I don't
know. Want to pull a card for you, Kelly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm going to try out, and this is my first day. It literally came on the post today, this Aethereal, God, can any of us say that word?
No.
Visions deck. So pretty. Okay, I'll pull one card for Kelly. And there's also, that's what we haven't spoke about. So what about, like, how we pull cards? Like, is there's many ways you can pull cards. You can I think the most common way is to split the deck. Is that how you pull?
Split the deck.
I don't really. I know in most of the books I've read,
they do say that.
They say to split, but I don't.
They often say, like, split it into, after you shuffle, split it into three piles.
And then
put them back together.
Yeah.
And then pull from the top or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you pull?
Another one where you split into two and then you pick a pile and then you only pick from that pile.
Yeah,
I've done that before and that didn't resonate with me. I just literally.
I thought you were supposed to wait until it feels like.
And then I will just shuffle the entire deck. I don't split it, I just shuffle it. I don't know whether I'm doing it wrong by doing
that. No, there's no wrong way. It's what works for you.
I used to wait until one got kind of stuck. Or
that's a good one.
When I just felt called to stop, when you suddenly feel like, oh no, like, I need to stop. But most of the time now, I just wait until one falls out, and I find,
you sometimes know, I just jump out.
Yeah, and when one jumps out, that's when I know, like, I trust that one so much. When it comes to me thinking I should stop, I do always struggle a bit with thinking, is it the right time to stop? Am I just doing it because I'm bored of shuffling? Because I've been doing it for, like,
when you're like, want one to fall out. Well, we're very similar, I think. So I thought, for some reason, I don't know why I got it in my head, but for some reason I thought that you stopped and split and picked. Did you
I never split.
No, but did you just... that's, like, actually the way they always say in the book, weirdly, but it's never, like, it's never worked for me. I'm the same as Steph. I never resonated with that. For me, again, like Steph, I just like to shuffle. Often I do feel a call to ripple shuffle or whatever that's called. you know,
when you
do this, when you split in two and then you mix the cards one by one. But it's like, I'm not even always called to do that. You can, if you just listen to the subtle feelings within you, like, okay, what, you know, what do I want to do? Like, sometimes I'll pick up the deck, do one flip and one comes out.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, clear message today, yeah. You know? But yeah, exactly like Steph, I just like to shuffle and see what falls out. And if that means I have to be there for 2-3 minutes shuffling until away, something falls yeah. out, or sometimes a half the freaking deck wants to fall out. But what I find is that I tell the deck, like, I want one card. Do you do that?
Yeah, so I'll wait until, like, if multiple fall out, I'll just put them back yeah. in. Yeah. And I will get one card.
Until one comes. I'm exactly the same. And another thing that happens is sometimes for me, do you ever shuffle and then one card, like, will just come out, flip itself and go back in?
Yeah.
For me, that's a really good pick as
yeah,
well.
Same.
So then you can see, oh, look, that card's flipped up. So that's the one. So that's always, like, really cool when that happens. And so Kelly, she was saying that she more likes to wait for the feeling when to stop. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what you told me to do.
Yeah, because there's many ways you can do it. That's the one of the ways to do it as well. So when you feel like, okay, I want to stop, or you can even, some people do this, don't they? They spread the cards out and then they just feel pick what one. they're drawn to pick.
Or however many, yeah.
There's literally no wrong way of doing it.
In the book it says, shuffle the cards as you think of a question or an event that you would like illuminated. If you do not have anything specific to ask, just be in the moment. Stop shuffling when you feel calm and ready. Shuffling the deck is an important part of the tarot ritual because it helps you focus your attention on the present. This is the yoga of tarot practice.
Yeah.
Then take the shuffled deck and with your left hand, traditionally this represents the hand of fate, to cut the deck into three piles. Choose one pile and then place the other piles underneath as it is shown above. Oh, sorry, there's an image. your chosen pile should be on top. And then if you're reading for someone else, ask them to shuffle the cards so they imprint them with their personal energy.
Yeah, I don't do that either. Like, yeah. When I read for other people, I have, it's me touching the cards, it's me shuffling, it's me pulling them, because I don't, it really, it's what resonates with you, but me handing, it doesn't make any difference, because most people these days are doing readings on Skype and over Instagram and things, and they're, you're not even in the same room as the person. So I don't feel like in this day and age that's really something that's necessary, like getting the person you're reading for to shuffle the deck. You, like, genuinely, whatever your belief is, spirit, whatever, it knows what you're asking, it knows who you're asking it for, if you're making that very clear with your thoughts and motivations. So
yeah, it's really like making your thoughts about this person, on your intention for the reading.
So I'm really not about the superstitious beliefs. There's the superstitious beliefs of no one can touch your deck, or you can't read for someone unless they've shuffled, or the cursing, like, I just,
so you can always clear the energy after, right?
Exactly. And you can literally just from one
crystals or sage,
yeah, like if you're really concerned, it literally takes a focus of saying, I only want my energy in this card.
Knock on the deck
with your dominant hand, like, there's, but really, like, unless you hold the belief of curses and you fear these things, they won't affect you. Like, because I've never been superstitious in the way, because I wasn't brought up religious or anything, so I guess that kind of helps. But I've never had problems with that. People touch my decks and it does not affect how I read, like, when I read them. I regularly cleanse my sacred space with sage or incense, and but again, it's not necessary. I don't think it's necessary that we think we need these tools. We don't. You don't even need tarot cards to tap into spirit, but if you want to use them what works for you, and don't attach dogma, don't punish yourself, don't worry about things like curses and rules, you know.
It's like everything. It's that dictated just, by your beliefs.
Exactly. That would just suck the fun out of it and make it really stressful. And it did for me when I first started with all the everything attached to it. I would become so fearful of using the cards sometimes, like, because, you know, you'd, when you are new to this stuff, you know, you hear things and you think, oh no, like,
don't want to invoke the devil.
Yeah. Or like, I don't want to like hear something bad. It's like, no,
it's a guidance tool, and it's not trying to hurt you. Yeah. Or send you down some.
Anyway, if you hear something bad, in the end, it's going to be good because it's going to prepare you or enlighten you. It's never.
At some point, you'll realise it was a message that you needed to hear.
And also, I find if you're doing like pick a card for the day, for example, and then you're not understanding the message, keep the card out
I do that.
Leave it at home, keep it on the top of the desk.
Take a photo on your phone.
And then when you come home, like the end of the day, if you like relook at the card, you could be like, that makes perfect sense.
It does.
Experience for the day.
That happens
like,
all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So you may not get it right away, but I was always told to just.
That's good advice.
Sometimes,
be aware.
Even the image in the card, like for me, with that Ten of Cups image, and it's like I literally, what was in the image came up that day. But by the end of the day, I pulled the card at the beginning with Steph and we were like, oh, what could this be?
Yeah.
By the end of the day, what was in the image was something that actually happened, you know, that was actually spoken about in exact words were said of the image, you know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa, that was a real – they really do work for you when you're open to hearing it and seeing it. I'm still – waiting for a card to pull out for Keddie's message of the day.
I've already pulled your card. You must turn it for
me. I'll pull for Steph then.
Yeah. Well, Steph doesn't pull for anyone then.
No, I'll pull for you.
You just pulled a card for me, didn't you?
Yeah,
for you. Yeah, so Steph will pull a card for you, and then I'll pull a card for Steph. Did you pull a card for you? I saw you jot something out there.
Yeah, I did.
What was it?
Ten of Swords.
Oh, I want to tell the viewers a bit about the old Ten of Swords.
Something's going to end.
And, no.
There's not really much I can do about it. Just
really? Can I see the image?
Yeah, it's not nice.
Okay. Oh, God, there's like, what are they, trolls? So what's your deck? It's always good to tell them what deck.
I can't remember the name of it.
Let's see the image.
But it's a Greek myth deck. So every image links up to a Greek myth or story.
Mythology, yes.
So the Ten of Swords means sudden endings and change. It brings truth and a release from uncertainty. You can see your situation exactly as it is. Work, this may mark the end of a relationship, job or contract. And socially, a group may suffer discord to the extent that broken bonds seem irreparable. The message of this card is that there is nothing you can do but accept this necessary conclusion.
Is that for today?
Yeah.
You're going to quit the podcast you're quitting right now?
I'm going to walk out.
No, can't.
I'm done with this shit. Oh, it's really...
Yeah, let's have a card for Steph. Let's have a positive card for Steph tonight.
Three faces. They're the fates.
The what?
The fates.
The face of...
The fates.
Oh, the fates.
Yeah.
Look menacing.
God, one card, please. Half the deck keeps wanting to fall out for Steph's message here.
It's going to be the Ten of Swords.
It's like working so hard to get the Ten of Swords. Spirit's like, fuck, and I'll shuffle better.
I'm getting a lot of swords recently.
So communication is a key message for you. Like, I've been getting a lot of pentacles lately. Like, start being better with your money, girl. That's what I feel like the message
paradox.
Behind pentacles is for me. Rain it in. Okay, I've got a card. And it's not reversed.
Is it Ten Swords, though?
No. I pulled the Fool for Steph.
I love the Fool. I just because I love the imagery of the fool most of the time.
Yeah, and the meaning is lovely too. I love the fool meaning. The little dog ear, yeah, little white dog.
It's like Milo.
Oh my god, it's like your dog, more like.
It's like a mini version of her dog.
True, she's like shrinked.
But it's pure white.
So, the fool.
The fool, where are you? The fool.
Zero.
Upright meaning. A fresh start, freedom from the constraints of the past, release from a pattern of events, and taking risks, provided that you enjoy the free fall. With this vital opportunity comes the need for caution, so temper your idealism with practicality. As the jester, he can also herald a beguiling character who brings innocence and fun. Hmm. Well, that's a lot nicer than the one I thought.
But it really has a very similar meaning.
True.
So it's like this is a more positive take on exactly the same meaning.
Ending.
About something ending, but instead being more approaching it like the fall, you know? Like, yeah, it's ending because you've done the whole trip. You've done the world, you've got to the world, and now you start again, you know?
Looking at the world with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
What does the little book in yours say?
So mine says, the fool is the spirit of innocence in all of us as we begin our journey. And you know what? It really does make sense if we think about our conversation I had when I first met you this morning, like on our little catch up, because you said that you decided on something that you'd been trying to decide on for weeks or even months.
True, as long as I act upon it.
But I'm just saying, like, it's, you don't often be like, yeah, I really want to do this. It's like with that confidence, with that knowing that's, I want to do it. It came from me. It came from my original source. It didn't come from, oh, Leanne suggested this or mum suggested that, you know?
True.
So that kind of makes sense. And then it's this card may be at the beginning or at the end of the transformation. Of our path, each position marks the start of new beginnings where we are free to be creative, have boundless faith. I feel like that's a very key word for Steph today, what she needs to hear, having boundless faith in what she wants to do, and freely embrace opportunities.
That's a really good.
The two of cups.
Haunting me. And me. I've got it coming up in October. Literally two of cups and three of cups I pulled on Saturday together. Remember?
I did.
Does that count?
Okay.
Two popped out there, so I'm going to brush it off.
No, because you're picking for Kelly. And what's my card then that Kelly pulled for me from the Rider-Waite deck? Oh, the old eight of wands. I love a bit of an eight of wands. Was it a reverse though?
No, because I just spun it around for you.
All right, cool. I got eight of wands, not reverse. I know about eight of wands is it's the picture is just eight wands flying through the air on a nice sunny day in a nice place.
Basically, that's what it is.
And they're just, it represents forward moving action. And if you can see that the wands have sprouts growing on them, so it's like the growth of something. Oh. So it's like they're not withering and dying, they're like sprouting and coming to life and flying forward. So it's like forward going action. So it's like time to put those ideas into action. You know, keep moving on this. Do you want to have a little look at the book? We have it. Would you like to tell them, Steph, what book we are reading from?
We are reading from Understanding Tarot, Discover the Tarot and Find Out What Your Cards Really Mean by Liz Dean.
And thank you so much, Liz Dean, because
we love this book.
It's a bargain, but it's also brilliant for beginners. So if you are interested in taking up the tarot, we couldn't recommend this book enough. Like, it covers all the basics and more.
Okay, so we've got Eight of Wands.
Eight of Wands.
The Eight of Wands brings news. This is a fast and frantic time when communication is key and opportunities and offers come in. You may travel, partake in a creative collaboration, be inspired by talking to stimulating individuals, or contribute to a community project.
Oh, all of those things I'm doing.
If you're waiting for answers, this is the card to tell you yes.
Oh, nice. I just got keywords in this little book. It says action, balance, change, productivity.
Good call for today.
Yeah, I love it.
Tuesdays were often quite productive.
And I have a lot to do today after the podcast. I've got to bake. After I bake, I've got to go do the horses.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I'll upload a YouTube video tonight. So...
nice.
Yeah, it's a productive
card.
Day.
See, I knew it was this card, and I didn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to keep it for you.
Kelly got my girl, the High Priestess.
Oh, hell yeah.
I never pulled this one yet.
And me and Steph love her, yeah.
Also, my favourite character, because it's my Greek deck, it's Persephone, and I love Persephone.
So what's the image
in
your
card? Is it because she sounds like Stephanie?
No, it's not because she sounds like Stephanie. That is a bonus.
But I can imagine you as a kid, like, that's the Stephanie, is me.
What's that? She's holding something.
That's, what's the fruit?
Oh, it's a fruit.
What's the fruit?
Apple. Pomegranate.
That's the one, pomegranate.
She's
yes.
holding a pomegranate.
And she's ruled by the moon. She's always, got a pillar of white and dark next to her, hasn't she? In, like, also in the Rider-Waite Smith.
She gets, dragged to the underworld to marry Hades for half the year.
Oh. Yeah,
and
you told
spends,
me this
like,
story.
Half the year back up land.
It really reminds me of old Sarah J. Maas. Wings of Fury.
It was based off them.
Yeah, I know. I love that story, but yeah,
Wings of Fury, A Court of Mist and Fury,
sorry.
And Wings of Ruin.
But I meant
what are you talking about?
The second one, which is
Mr. Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it had wings in it.
The third one does.
Okay. I'm wrong there.
Okay, so Kelly. Upright meaning, intuition, higher guidance. Take note of your dreams, nurture your desire for learning and seek out inspiration. In this aspect, the High Priestess is the teaching of your intuition. Oh, what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
The duality of her number two may also indicate the need to choose between two courses of action. Take time to make this decision. Listen to those who have the appropriate wisdom and experience. Their words are genuine and may help you heal a private conflict before it becomes a moral dilemma.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. I got, for the High Priestess, it represents wisdom and enlightenment. She is in between two worlds and embodies the eternal feminine spirit. And that's funny because Kelly has been very focusing on harnessing in her feminine energy lately. And the High Priestess, it does represent that feminine but powerful energy. Mm. She is the guardian of the unconscious who guides us to look inwards and listen to our own feelings and intuition. How do you feel about that, Kelly? Is it resonating with you?
Cool. Yeah, I think so. I've really been thinking about that this whole week, actually, about how that's just the most important thing is to listen to your intuition.
And go within.
Yeah. Even when you're listening to other people tell you things, you can literally rely on your own intuition to guide you, or tell you whether that's right for you or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, that has come to me this week. So.
And that's the only way to go, really, because if you're going against what feels good inside, then you're walking the wrong way.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just that we are...
crap at the end.
Yeah.
I've learned that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's just that we are taught to go against our intuition in this upside-down matrix.
Yeah.
So
always trust it, even though it may be hard at the time.
Yeah,
I'm really still just...
It's
going
to end up worse for you if you don't.
Still just learning that how to actually follow your intuition and trust that over everything else is difficult when you grow up in the way things are now. That's really cool. I think that... Help me today. Hopefully.
Yeah, and it's interesting, both of you two, you know, you should really, really go into those cards today because they are major arcanas. Because I always feel like when you pull a major arcana, it's like a very strong message because because the strongest, most life-affecting messages come through the majors. And say, for example, you might get a negative minor arcana, just remember that the minor arcanas are more faster passing, you know? They are issues that will be dealt with a lot more quickly than the major arcanas. can also look at the minor arcanas to read for timescales. So someone was saying, okay, when am I going to have this opportunity come up? Then you pull some cards, say that you've got a load of pentacles come up. You're pretty sure, okay, this is going to be a long, if you were a long wait, because pentacles represent years, you know. So say if you were pulling one card was a two of pentacles, you'd say, okay, 2 years, and then you're going to see something. If you were pulling, if you pulled the cups, yeah, and it was like two of cups, you'd be like, okay, 2 days, you know, this is a quick thing. Cups represent days. Wands represent weeks. Swords represent months, and then pentacles years. And then if you think of pentacles, it's easy to remember that because you've got earth signs, and earth signs are slow moving.
So if you think about your grounded seven of wands, then maybe that's 7 weeks that you really like complete this sort of
eight wands
energy.
So it, and also cool. I think like it also
so many ways
it
to
depends
read it
on the reader. So I never used to look into that, but lately I've started to use timescale.
You feel like your intuition's like tells you to look at this, look at this. And I just take it as in, oh, my intuition, if I like read certain keywords, they'll like sort of almost pop out of it.
Exactly. And even, you know, like you don't have to always listen for timescale, but if you was if you wanted to know,
that is the message.
You could
right?
put that out there in the beginning. Okay, I'm trying to find out the time scale of this event.
Yeah, so
the time scale
specific.
Of, like we could say, what's the time scale of when we're going to really start to see an increase in the Lioness podcast viewers? Let's see what comes out. Ooh. Okay, we've got the Five of Swords reversed.
So,
we wouldn't count the reversal because we're doing a time.
That wasn't reversal.
So we're looking at 5 months.
So 5 months would be the most popular.
That's when we're gonna know
in the world.
I didn't say that. I said when will our audience start to increase? Like when something like that, didn't I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 5 months we'll start to really see like, oh wow, we're gaining
an
audience. Yeah.
Right, that's pretty cool.
So like it works better timescale if you kind of ask first.
Yeah.
So what is this? Five of Swords as well. And this has,
and that's communication.
Like,
so
maybe
swords
this is like
communication.
As long as you're communicating, as long as you're putting your hand towards this project.
Yes.
Then maybe the timescale will be.
Yeah. And especially because we just genuinely asked for a time scale, so
yeah,
it gave
not
us
for the
not for a meaning.
The...
But I think that like sort of says it.
Yeah, but and then it because it's come in. Well, yeah, that's communicating. It makes sense. But then we just wanted the time scale, which is months for swords, which is cool. So that's another fun thing that you can work with.
Yeah.
And maybe
this deck's so nice. Why don't you tell them about this deck?
Yeah, I hate having to pronounce it though. It's the it's a hard word to pronounce
the
for me.
Sasure Bito.
But it sounds so different when the Americans say it. They say the Sasarombino or something.
The Sasarabito.
Yeah, something like that.
Tarot.
Yeah.
By Stacia
sounds better with Kelly's American accent there. Yeah. So I was thinking
it's by Stacia Burrington. Stacia Burrington.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, the back has what is that type of moth called?
I don't know different types of moths.
You know the
moth
with the skulls on the back? Those ones.
Yeah, so it's got like
moths
and it's like black or dark, really dark grey, black and dark red colour theme.
It's kind of
gold edging.
The box and the cover art kind of reminds me of Alkaline Trio, but then the actual images.
The band.
Yeah, the band. Not just a trio of alkalines.
Yeah, but I'm just saying a lot of people might not have a clue what that is.
Because it's not a popular band. They are quite popular. But then the actual images are really like watercolour painting.
They're
really
gorgeous.
Cool.
Kind of like very like more modern-esque, you know, than the original Rider Waite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a hint of anime in them.
Yeah, yeah. There kind of is, but then and it's not anime style art, but I totally get
but
what Steph's saying
like
there. There is something.
But like, I really like the way it's just coloured watercolour.
It really, really gets the intuition going with the images that they choose, because it is.
Is that your favourite deck?
Yeah, it probably is. But then keeping in mind
that one you got today, though,
the ones I got today don't count, because
that is so
you
nice.
Have to work with them to yeah. know like how they work for you. But oh my god, does this deck read like a dream? Like, if you guys were interested in this,
that's
I couldn't recommend it more.
Ten of Cups card, right?
Yeah, oh, I love the Ten of Cups,
so
and this
specific to that card.
I was thinking maybe we should pull one card before we finish up, just for our viewers. So like,
okay, cool.
So oh, who's cute. Listening, this is just a little message for you. So we're our spirit today, like, what is the message that our viewers need to hear?
Let us know if this resonates for you.
Yeah, like, great, like, hit us up on, is there anywhere they can hit us up?
I mean, maybe you can comment on the
I think
site.
You can, actually, if you go to the Anchor
but we
website.
We will be setting up the Instagram soon. That'll be a good place.
Yeah, as soon as we
us.
Have the Instagram, we'll be definitely.
I'll aim for next week that I'll make sure that I get the logo ready. So we're ready to go on Instagram and we'll start promoting it properly.
That's quick.
Okay, so okay. I should put a card for you guys.
So we got the Page of Pentacles reversed.
Oh, cool. Reverse.
I don't know if it was reversed, but it was the way it fell.
Should we read both?
We'll read both, so you can see what resonates with you.
Okay, so we've got upright meaning.
For the Page of Pentacles.
The Page of Pentacles so can cute. Be described as hardworking, methodical young person, reliable, willing to take responsibility for her actions, and dedicated to serving others. She brings good news about your financial affairs. Oh, this is nice.
Hmm.
This page's appearance in your reading can also act as advice or a gentle warning that a diligent attitude will help you to manage any existing or future financial pressures.
Oh, wow. That's some good advice for anyone there.
Yeah.
The reverse yeah. meaning signifies mistrust. There is a fine line between theft and taking what she thinks she has a natural right to. This card reveals extravagance and irresponsibility. The page's message here is that you may be restricted due to someone else taking too much away from you.
Ah, also really good advice.
Oh, well, so it did fall out reverse, so maybe that most of you are going to resonate with that. So don't, it said something about theft there. You want to get a tarot deck, buy a tarot deck.
Support independent artists.
Yeah, don't
artists.
Be stealing somebody's precious tarot deck.
This is right? cool, your actual Page of Pentacles card with the guys just sort of
like
I really
holding the origami swan.
Like, yeah, it's so cute.
I like that.
Amazing. Yeah, so and with the blue sky. Nice. So colour,
yeah,
we didn't mention colour, but also colour, you can read colour.
Oh, yeah.
Within the tarot, so you have like,
God, there's so much
what
to
is
read
that
into.
Called? Is it called colour therapy? You
yeah.
know, like when you read colours, what's that called?
I don't know.
There is a word for it, though. I'm not.
Yeah. I think there is.
Therapy is like
yeah.
using colours to shift your mood and
yeah, but
like
also,
colours hold moods.
But you can read colours.
Yeah.
With
colours,
planets.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like anything. There's so much to learn from the tarot and so many messages to derive.
Yeah.
I think.
And we, you know,
we're only
we
just
might
touching the surface
even do another podcast around tarot, who knows, because
yeah.
we are all very strongly into it, or I can definitely guarantee there'll be times where we'll be pulling cards, so
yeah.
just to get some guidance, or maybe we would want a different perspective on whatever we're talking about and we can pull a card.
Yeah.
So there's lots of occasions that you can pull cards in, and I definitely think if this has sparked your interest, definitely go ahead, buy yourself a deck, all right? No thieving. And
use your intuition will guide you to the deck of your dreams.
Yeah, and just go for it. Like, literally, there's nothing to be scared of. No woo woo. No,
this is really fun.
Demons
as well.
Are gonna come out the second you unwrap it. Like,
yeah, it's not a Ouija board.
Yeah,
so.
And even so, like that. Even then, it's all what you believe. So
yeah.
if you believe there's something to be fearful of, then you're creating that world
fear,
for yourself.
For sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, it's really enjoyed this, girls. I know it's more my subject.
Yeah,
so.
No, I learned a lot. You're really good at teaching this subject. So.
Yeah, thanks for
thank you.
Listening. And we really hope that you gained something about and learned something at least about tarot today. And, yeah, have a great day, guys. And thanks for listening to the Lioness podcast.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, which episode was this? I think, guys,
Seven. No,
was
it's
it?
Not.
No,
seven.
Was it six?
Oh, okay, maybe it's six.
I'm not sure.
I think it's six. Okay, well, thanks for listening either way, and we will see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.